Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Mark Helpsmeet, your host for Song of the Soul, broadcast via WHYS-LP in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This is a Northern Spirit Radio production, exploring the spiritual depth and power of music to move our souls. Each week, we journey with our guests to share the songs that have charted their soul's course. And today, I am delighted to welcome singer-songwriter Lon Milo Duquette to our program. More about Lon after Chris Williamson gets us in the mood with a bit of her anthem and our theme music, Song of the Soul.
Love of my life, I am crying. I am not dying. I am dancing, dancing along in the madness. There is no sadness, only a song of the soul.
Wow, are you in for a treat today for Song of the Soul on so many levels. My guest is Lon Milo Duquette, and he is, at the same time, profound and hilarious and a wonderful singer-songwriter. I'm tempted to compare him to Leon Redbone, Joseph Campbell, and John Stewart, but those would be bad approximations and maybe misleading, for Lon is all himself. And if I tell you that, religiously, spiritually, he's a Thelemite, you'll probably be as much in the dark as ever. The best way to get to know him is by listening in as we join Lon Milo Duquette by phone in Southern California. Lon, it's wonderful to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You've been a musician for a number of decades, but there was a hole in your career. You want to spell out for our listeners what your experience with music is from start until present?
I was born in 1948, so I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and the music was a big part of my life because I was in on the birth of rock and roll. I was raised in Nebraska, picked up the guitar when I was about 12 and got into a band when I was 14, stayed in a band until I was 28 years old. So it was really my career, made a living. I helped support the family. My father was ill, so music was a pretty big thing in my life. And in 1966, when I graduated from high school, I moved back to California, where I was born. I was lucky enough to fall in with a songwriting partner, Charles Harris, and we made two singles and an album for Epic Records. But long about 1972, I more or less made the decision to get out of the music business while I still had my health, my relative happiness, and Constance and I, we were pregnant with our son, and I sort of wanted the home life and the lifestyle of a recording artist in Hollywood in early 70s was pretty colorful, but it was also pretty wild, and I more or less just made the decision to go with the family rather than the career. But I truly put music behind me. I didn't even listen to music right up through, I would say, the mid-70s, right up until 2000. I had sold my guitars. I was out of the music scene completely. Then I started writing books because I'm interested in the Western spiritual traditions. For many years, I had sort of fancied myself an Eastern mystic. In the 60s, of course, I was interested in yoga, Eastern mysticism. I sort of had this idea that, you know, I would gain enlightenment, you know, sitting under a shaded tree someplace, looking really cool. I'd have my head shaved and be sitting in a full lotus and completely losing my ego while I looked so cool. And after a while, I came to the conclusion that enlightenment was really hard work. Eastern mysticism was really hard, so I started looking around for something that resonated with my sort of Western psyche. You know, I didn't think that ego thing was, you know, all that bad, and I had it for a reason. And so I was looking around for something in the West, you know, be a comparable Western Tao Te Ching kind of thing. We attended Quaker Meeting, especially during the Vietnam War. That was sort of what we resonated to. But finally, I ran across the Hebrew Kabbalah, the more Western heretical traditions. You know, I say that in a very positive way. And I got very interested in that. I even started teaching classes on Western Hermeticism. And one day, a friend of mine, one of my lodge members, who was already a best-selling author, Christopher Hyatt, said he wanted to write a book about the psychological aspects of tarot cards, but he didn't know that much about the tarot cards except for what he understood Carl Jung, his interest in it. I said, well, I'm not qualified to comment on that subject. And he says, well, who is? So that's why I called you. And I said, well, okay, I'll help you with that book. And he and I ended up writing 4 books together in 2 years, and that sort of got my writing career going. After a while, one of my students, who had heard one of my old recordings from CBS, said, why don't you play anymore? I said, I don't even have a guitar. And one student gave me a ukulele, and I started enjoying that. A Canadian film crew, a documentary film crew, was doing a documentary on the famous English occultist, Aleister Crowley. I'm sort of an authority on Crowley. So they came down from Canada and spent a few days here at the house interviewing me. When they realized that I had recorded and that music had been a part of my life, they convinced me to get some shots of me singing. And I said, well, I haven't sang in 25 years, for heaven's sakes. And they said, oh, come on. And so I called a few friends, found a little nightclub here in Costa Mesa that was kind enough to give me the stage. And we brought the film crew in and recorded me singing a few of my songs. And I started writing songs again. They just started to pour out of me.
Well, let's see some of your work. You've been producing a lot of music. What do you want to start with, Lon?
Why don't we start with a song that I've written pretty recently? It's called Love's Song. It's not really an occult or overtly mystical song, but it is in a way, because I see love as the big thing. I see a lot of incredible spirituality just in a simple love song, but why don't we take a listen to it? It's kind of goofy. You got to kind of pay attention to the words.
Love Song by Lon Milo Duquette.
All starts once upon a time. Pardon me, but would you have the time? Every whisper, every shout is, every smile and every pout is, every little in and out. It's love's song. Big bang banged, nature rang out a love song. Big Ben rings, singing London a love song. Notes pass in the classroom, eye contact across a crowded room. Every ring of every bell is every rendezvous. Hotel is every G, I think you swell's love song. At the beach, seagulls screech out a love song. Teachers teach 8 parts of speech to write love songs. Nouns, verbs only function to express love, sweet conjunction. Every would you care to dance is, each baguette in Paris, France is, every crazy romance is love's song. When atoms bind into molecules, that's how they say I love you. Hearts break when lovers part. That's a love song too. Tap, dancers tap, thunder claps out a love song. Mind the gap, rising sap is a love song. Sweetheart, don't be nervous, we'll stay in bed and call room service. Every chemical reaction, every stab at satisfaction, every chain reaction is love's song. Hard and soft, on and off is a love song. Height and depth, width and breadth is a love song. touche. Please and thank you, you've been naughty. Should I spank you? Every crush and fascination, every wink and sly flirtation, each and every hyphenation is a love song. King David loved his pal Jonathan, and Sappho sang to the girls. Virgil chased Beatrice through the underworld. Yin and yang is Chinese slang for a love song. Lance and grail, wind and sail is a love song. J.C. and the Magdalene, Shiva, Shakti, Beast, and Babylon, Monty Python and Macbeth is every heartbeat, every breath is every birth and every death's love song.
Lon Milo Duquette singing Love Song. Song he wrote and performed, but you perform with some other people too, right? Or is it just always you? And
yeah, I perform with as many people as I can talk into performing with me. That particular song is just me and my guitar, so that's sort of the naked me. But I get a kick out of the song because it takes us from the Big Bang to death.
Well, it's a fun song. It's a fun song, and I like all the things that you visit in between as part of love. So love is at the center of it. I've kind of wondered, as you know, you've looked east and you've looked west in terms of religion. Some people say, for instance, that the golden rule is at the heart of all of the world's great religions. I don't know if you find that to be true, but a golden rule is next door neighbor, I think, to love. Love your neighbor as yourself, of course.
I would definitely agree with the generality that the golden rule is generically behind all great religions. The compassion of the Buddha may have a lot more dimensions to it than just feeling sorry for people.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another song. I think you've got it on the list. It's called I Wish I Were Krishna. It's kind of a goofy sounding song. It's whimsical sounding and everything. But when I wrote the song, I take two pretty long walks every day. I guess it's my yoga now. I came back from a morning walk with, I'm not sure exactly what triggered the epiphany that morning, but I had been wallowing in the realization of love as a true energy, just as real as electricity or nuclear energy. It's a real force. And I was just absolutely in love with everything. And that's where the nouns and verbs and all of that, you know, I didn't have the words to express how much I loved everything, because I was in love with the noun of love and the verb of love. And I was in love with every word and every letter and every space between the letters. I was in love with the inhalation and the exhalation, and I just came back completely love crazy. I kept saying to myself, I just wish I were Krishna, and I could just split myself up, copy myself into infinite me's, and just make love to everything. So I wrote the words to that song in just breathtaking seriousness. And by the time it got turned into a song, it sounded pretty goofy, but I still like it. I hope we can play it.
We can, but first I'll remind our listeners that this is Sprouts Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Mark Helpsmeet, and this is Song of the Soul, a Northern Spirit radio production originating from WHYS-LP, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And we're visiting today with singer-songwriter and wide-ranging spiritual traveler, Lon Milo Duquette. And right now, we'll share another of his offbeat and on-target songs, I Wish I Were Krishna.
Maha Bharata has got a hero divine, Lord of the universe, he's smiling all the time. He's very handsome, he's pretty. Folks in the sticks and in the city think it's a pity he can't make love to them all. But he can, 'cause he's my idol, my hero. I wouldn't be a zero if I were him. There'd be no sin. Well, paint me blue and call me Krishna. I wish I were Krishna. Love God of the Hindus. I wish I were Krishna. Love God of the Hindus. I'd copy myself into multiple me's, make love to all the gopi girls I could please, delivering with each illimitable squeeze a full divine measure of unimaginable pleasure. I wish I were Krishna. Love God of the Hindus. Of my loves will be steadfast and true, vowing in truth I love only you. Each monad of existence would be my sweet bride, whose womb I would penetrate and explode me inside. Oh, I wish I were Krishna. Love God of the Hindus. My loves will be steadfast and true, vowing in truth I love only you. Each monad of existence would be my sweet bride, whose womb I would penetrate and explode me inside. Within you, without you, gush my ocean of Bindu. I wish I were Krishna. Love God of the Hindu.
Don't we all wish we were Krishna? Milan Milo Duquette. At what point did you write this, by the way? Was this in your early career, your later career? Are any of the songs we're going to share today from your tempestuous youth?
As a matter of fact, I think all of the songs we've got today are from my recent resurrection. They're all relatively new songs, every one of them.
The reason I ask that, in part, Lon, is because you describe your youth as being oriented, or maybe the first half of your life or something, being oriented towards religion in the East, and then you started moving more West. Well, Krishna's over on the other side. I imagine if you were doing Western, I'm not sure exactly which figure you would have chosen to be the symbol of love everywhere.
Right. I guess part of the recent awakening has been the fact that I've integrated everything. So I don't consider myself Western or Eastern or everything else. Everything is now self-referential to everything else. Even though my expertise that I, you know, I'll write books on is more of the Western, but everything that I learned, everything I was running away from in the East is now making sense to me. What I wrote something when I was 19. And I don't have it on any of the songs that I've got for you on our list today, but it was, I am he who runs through all matter, mind, and spirit flow. from my breast both earth and heaven go into one big game illusion all within me by my love. I will dwell with me from whence I come.
And that was when you were 19, huh?
That's when I was 19, yes.
You were a precocious child, weren't you?
I think LSD had a lot to do with it, but
Well, keep us going on your Song of the Soul music. We've got a lot to share, and I want to make sure we get it all in.
I've got one called I'm Baba Lawn, and of course it's a play on words. Baba is a term in the East, you know, it's sort of an endearing mister or uncle, or it's kind of a happy, cozy word. And Lawn, of course, is my name. I sort of wrote it because people ask, well, why do you feel qualified to comment on these spiritual deep subjects? And I say, I don't know. You know, I don't know why I'm qualified. It's not what I've learned, but what I am, I guess, you know. So I wrote this song called I'm Baba Lawn, as if I'm just a normal guy, but when I wrap my turban on, I become Baba Lawn.
I am a man like any man, with feet of clay and cheeks of tan. But when I wrap my turban on, the gods are near, I'm Baba Lawn. I eat too much, I drink too much, a greedy selfie, such and such. But when I wrap my turban on, my mind is clear, I'm Baba Lawn. A lazy coward, vain and violent, I chatter on when I should stay silent. But when I wrap my turban on, all bets are off, I'm Baba Lawn. I have no fear, I'm Baba Lawn. Mean and cruel, like Genghis Khan. Spend too much time with the TV on. But when I wrap my turban on, great truths appear, I'm Baba Lawn. Yes, when I wrap my turban on, my is pure, I'm Baba Lawn. My heart is pure, I'm Baba Lawn.
His name is Lon Milo Duquette, and the song is I'm Baba Lawn. By the way, Lon, does that have any connection with Babylon, too? Or were you trying to make that leap in connection, too?
I was trying to make that leap because Babylon, as a character, at least in exoteric Western spiritual traditions, is a pretty shady character. The Whore of Babylon from the Book of the Revelation has had a pretty bad rap over the years, being kind of a terrifying image among Christians. But as far as things Kabbalistic go, and Kabbalah is the esoteric, the hidden spiritual science behind the Judeo-Christian tradition, very often those stories that seem like the villains in the regular narrative actually are more like the inner spiritual heroes. The character of Babylon, who joins with the beast in the book of the Revelation, when you just put it under just a small microscope, has every earmark of being the same thing that in the East they talk about when they talk about the Shakti. So Shiva and Shakti, the great male and female principles of the universe, are in Hindu cosmology, the universe is held together by this energy, this love, this lust between Shiva and Shakti. And that's the same thing when viewed Kabbalistically with the story of Babylon and the beast. So I wrote a song. I just thought, how about just a cowboy song? Just a country western, just a nose-twanging cowboy song. And the country singer is singing his soul out to his girl, sweet Babylon. This is what I came up with.
People keep saying that Jesus is Lord. He'll take me in the rapture. He'll come with a sword. Preachers on TV tell me I'm living wrong. But I've tasted the lips of sweet Babylon. Sweet Babylon, oh heavenly harlot, let down your hair and take me to bed. Hold out your cup and I'll pour the wine. Drink to the night of sweet Babylon.
I'm sorry to tempt you, but then cut you off, but you got to hear at least a portion of Milo Duquette's song, Sweet Babylon. That's all the time we have today for Sprouts, but to hear the other half of the Song of the Soul interview with Lon, including gems like Last Night I Dreamed of Dead People, head to northernspiritradio.org. Again, for many more stories and songs from Lon Milo Duquette, northernspiritradio.org. That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to a Song of the Soul interview with Lon Milo Duquette, hosted by Mark Helpsmeet. Our theme music is Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio, thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Mark Helpsmeet of Northern Spirit Radio in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.